we're about here is the Lord's table. Make clear that each time it's not a table of a denomination or of a person, it's the Lord's table. And the example of what we're about is taken right from the scriptures. You don't have to go to some ecclesiastical common book to read and find out how we're to partake. In Matthew 26, in verse 26 down to verse 30, it says, and as they were eating, what we're doing here grew out of an annual partaking of the Passover, which went all the way back to the time when God delivered Israel out of Egypt. And this was the one Passover to which all those other Passovers pointed. It's amazing when you think about it, the thousands of years that went by, and yet now our Lord himself, the Passover, partaking in this final Passover, each element of that Passover feast being a picture of our Lord. There are elements on that Passover table that are not part of what we have. We don't have an actual physical lamb. I wonder why. Well, we have Christ the Lamb. And we don't have the bitter herbs. There were bitter herbs that were part of that Passover. Why don't we have the bitter herbs? Well, because Christ has borne the sin away. There is therefore now no condemnation. So that just leaves two elements. It leaves the wine and the bread. And those are the two elements that the Lord said, continue to do until I come again. It's amazing. I have people say to me, why didn't Christ leave us a picture? There were artists back then. He could have had somebody, one of the apostles. They probably were talented. They could draw in a picture. He did leave us a picture. Right here in our hands. That's why we don't make pictures of Christ or try to draw him as we think he might have been. And we have the picture. This bread representing his body. And just like we saw in Isaiah 53, the seed sown and died, and the plant grown up and harvested and cut down, taken and crushed in the mill, and then put in the fire, all for us to be able to partake and have a taste of what it was for Christ, the living bread, to come and do the salvation he accomplished. And then the cup. You know, I always say that Christ could have come and lived the perfect life without sin and then ascended in glory, and it wouldn't have accomplished salvation. Because there are the precepts of the law, yes, but there's also the penalty. That's what makes this cup so precious. It's not that there's salvation in the cup, but the wine represents that blood he shed. How precious is that blood? We don't see it as we ought, but I will tell you, the more I hear about it, and the more the Lord teaches me, the more precious he makes it for this sinner's soul. And it's not when I see it. That's our salvation. You see, that's our hope. It's not when I see it. It's when he sees it. God saw that blood shed at the cross and was satisfied. And so that's what this is about. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take ye, this is my body. Now some take that literally. They believe that there's actually Jesus in this bread. They say this incantation over it. That's where the term hocus pocus came from. If you go back and look at the Latin. There's nothing mystical about this bread. If a piece should drop on the floor, we're not like, oh, Jesus dropped on the floor. It's what this bread represents, his body. It's like a picture. If I could take out a picture right now, and my kids are around me, but I say, here's a picture of my kids. No one's stupid enough to think, well, no, they're your kids over here. That's, you know, or I say to you, these are my kids in the picture. They draw the distinction. And Christ said, this is my body. It's a representation of his body. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament. The Old Testament was one of types, pictures, and promises. The New Testament, the fulfilled Testament. You know what a testament is. Every one of us has been told we need to have a will and testament. we die, we got to leave it to somebody. All right? Well, that's what the testament is. When the testator dies, the blessings of his death go to somebody. Who do they go to? Well, the scriptures say those that the Father gave from all eternity. Their names are already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says, which is shed for many. If you look in the original, I don't know why they didn't include it, but it's for the many. For the remission of sin. The many. Every one that the Father gave him. And he said, I say unto you, in verse 29, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When is that day? That's now. How does he drink it new with his church in his Father's kingdom? Because that kingdom is now. Well, it's whenever we gather, where two or three are gathered in my name, Christ said, I'm with you. So it's not like we're partaking in something where Christ is just a theory removed. It's amazing to me to think that he gathers with his people and even now rejoices with his people. You know, you'll see athletes, when they score a touchdown or win a game or something, they'll point heavenward and they'll say, that was for mama looking down, that was for daddy looking down. They all feel like, you know, they all say, well, I feel their presence with me. That is idolatry. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he never has left his people. He said, I do not leave you orphans, but I send you my comforter, another comforter, his spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the spirit of the Lord is, he's with his people. I hope and pray the spirit of the Lord's here with us. It's not just a theory, but it's his very presence with his people. And then it says there, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So let's thank the Lord for this bread and cup, and then we'll partake, and then we'll sing a hymn, and we'll depart. Gracious Father, thank you for giving us these emblems. Thank you for the picture that it represents concerning your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May our eyes ever be upon him. We know there's no hope in the bread or in the cup, but it's in who the bread and the cup represent. And so, Lord, turn our eyes upon your blessed Son. Cause us to see him in our need, to ever see him, because we're ever needing. And be thankful for the death that he accomplished, that we might enjoy this fellowship with you. And we're mindful to give you all the praise and honor and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.